Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter the offer code RAMBLE at the checkout. A better web starts with your website.
Goo goo barabba jaggle, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Jim's here.
Hello.
Luke.
All right.
Pete.
What's your problem?
Not got one yet, but let's find one, ladies and gentlemen. Now then, Robbie Fowler's launched a property academy for buy-to-let investors to learn the tricks of the trade.
Why are you so surprised? You wrote that.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Isn't it? I still don't believe
you
it.
You must have forgotten.
Well, he...
Just like Kevin Keegan's Clown Academy.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah. More money, though. Much more, more reliable money. In terms of investment.
A lot more real.
Success. Well.
Longer term, I'd say.
That might be an early record for Keegan, but 30 seconds that was. Before Keegan got a mint.
Well, didn't see it coming from me, though, did you?
No, I didn't. No, actually.
Fowler, of course, he famously owns many properties across the northwest of England, which he rents out. Now, if you had to have a landlord from the world of football, who would take your fancy, Jim?
James Milner.
Dependable.
I don't want my landlord fucking about just
on the ranging
hanging around when he comes over, just like making idle chit-chat. Milner would get in, he would get the job done, he'd be on it straight away, like you'd ring him up, he'd be straight round or he'd send someone round and he'd be good.
Yeah.
You don't want an over-familiar landlord, you're not going to get that with old Monster Munch Jaw.
I like that. I very much like that.
I think that's a good selection. I'd endorse that.
Yeah, and obviously he's owning a wedge.
Yeah, exactly,
so he could feasibly get into
he's
the property
earning wages.
He probably is in the property game. Yeah, a lot of them are, I think.
Yeah. Mm. Or maybe he's in the academy.
Mm.
In the academy. Luke, who are you going to go for?
I'm going to go for Roy Hodgson.
Mm.
I think he'd be a very friendly, very reliable man. I think he's the sort of guy that you'd call him up and he would say, yeah, okay, that sounds fine. Just get it done and I'll pay for it. I think he'd be that kind of landlord.
What's
which
the
I
problem?
Like.
He'd say, what's the problem?
Yeah, he would.
But is it what?
Yeah, but
is what the problem?
You're right there, mate. You can have your answer in a minute. So don't do
I'm
your
helping.
Best stuff now.
I'm helping.
Who
are you helping? Probably,
I also made a note here that Terry Venables will be a slum landlord. Terry Venables. I wish the question was who wouldn't you want to be a slum?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Terry Venables, he'd be with like a fake estate agent called Gordon Bennett.
Yeah.
he'd be awful.
Do you know what I thought?
And
when I was
flipping Henry.
When I was thinking about this question earlier, I thought thoughts immediately turned to Terry Venables. I thought, what sort of landlord would he be? And I thought, the first thing I thought of is he'd be the kind of landlord who would give you his number, but every time you rang it, it would have that dying tone like he was overseas.
Oh, yeah.
He'd always be overseas.
Yeah.
And he would never get anything done.
Yeah.
And you'd get really aggressive letters from him. Like, he wouldn't give you a deposit back. Yeah, no chance.
Yeah. No
and
way.
He
wouldn't give you a reason for it.
No.
But you wouldn't. You might have done stuff. You know, you might be thinking, well, I did punch the wall that time Spurs scored.
Yeah.
Would he threaten you?
Is he going to be annoyed about that?
But you never find out why you don't get the deposit.
You'd never
back.
Hear from him again.
No, exactly.
In the inquest to your carbon monoxide death, he would be quoted as saying they just fell asleep.
Yeah, I was
forever.
He would allude to the possibility that he may use violence to get money out of your.
Can I really be expected to monitor carbon monoxide output in every single one of my properties? That's what you got to ask yourself.
You would never, ever get this with Milner.
No,
he'd be
no,
all over
no,
the carbon no, no, monoxide no, 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 levels.
Yeah. He would have
just know that, or he'd delegate.
He would have read the regulations like from start to finish.
Absolutely.
Several times.
While doing other things.
It's so nice to hear you having a go at Terry Venables, Luke, because you've not been given a chance in the last few years.
That's not your fault.
Yeah.
The last time I had a go at him was because of his beard and when he did that singing thing for the World Cup 2010.
Please let my dream be a fire escape.
Yeah. Please let my dream be a properly regulated fire extinguisher in the kitchen.
Yeah. A fire blanket at the very least, Terry. Yeah. Come on.
Luke, ideally both.
Yeah. Mm.
Was your first ever complaint in a broadcasting...
Well, I've got Roy.
You know, in a broadcasting arena. No, not that.
No.
Okay. Luke's going for Roy Hodgson. Yes. Like that. Like that. Pete, what about yourself?
I'd go for Stephen Bywater.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah, cast your minds,
well,
ladies and gentlemen.
If he's got a portable toilet and a horse box and a sex doll in the front yard...
That's what he did, ladies and gentlemen.
Imagine what crazy shit he's got behind closed doors. It'd be amazing.
The thing I like about that is that sounds like the sort of thing Pete would have made up, but it is true.
It is true. Uh-huh. Also, though, is that not a bad choice? Because Stephen Bywater, your landlord, would be doing things to piss off your neighbours with his property.
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't nothing to do with you. Like, the sex doll was eight when we came.
You've said that before.
I don't care. I don't care whether your kids are crying. It's a feature.
It's a water.
You've got to explain it all to them sooner or later.
It's a Bywater feature.
Yeah, there you go.
For some reason, I'm put in mind of that viral video, that video that went viral of a bloke who... Yeah. a kid who did it when it was snowing last, did a massive snow cock and balls in his garden and then filmed his mum coming home from work. Mm. I can imagine Steve Bywater doing that. It may well have been Stephen Bywater.
To that kid's mum, just in the future. Yeah.
the fence is falling down, Stephen. You come home and it's just been replaced by, I don't know, like the innards of a whale. His rib cage.
A whale's rib cage, yeah.
He's already got mentioned. I think I would have Keegan, actually. Yeah.
He'd never get anything done.
No, but
he'd be so well-meaning.
Yeah, but think about it.
He would go to fix like the oven, and the whole house would fall down.
He'd come in with a cement mixer, and he'd just end up covered in cement.
It would be Chaplin-esque.
Well, I was thinking more. Come on, you haven't paid the rent for 6 months. Shall I just give you the... All right, just give us last month's rent before you go and we'll call it quiz.
So you actually want to rip him off? You want him as a landlord so you can rip him off? I imagine Pete's got something to say about this. Taking advantage of people's good nature.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I'm only joking. Who would I have? Sven, probably.
Yeah. Why not?
Just to hang out.
Again.
Or Dimitro Albertini.
A terrible choice for Sven.
Albertini would be all right.
I would think.
If you had Sven as your landlord,
you live in Hammersmith.
Your rent would be £500,000 a year.
No, because I think that he would be quite lenient with that kind of thing, because he would probably have some kind of a gold apartment stored away, which he doesn't tell the taxman.
But you're going to rent it?
And he would be like, just look after that for me.
Oh, that would be nice.
There you go, you see. Yeah. Wouldn't want Jack
Warner. It's going to have a hot tub in it, let's face it.
Wouldn't want Jack Warner, would you, as landlord? Certainly not. What about Ronaldo? He's renting his Rio apartment to set Blatter for 6 weeks in the summer for a reported sum of £404,000.
He didn't dish out the points.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, what about Ronaldo?
Oh, you could have Ronaldo. Yeah, I suppose so.
He did love a house party, though.
Yeah, that's expensive. Yeah. That is expensive.
Thank you for your apartment, El Phenomenal.
Yeah.
he would throw house parties around your place as well. Which would be fun.
But they're going to be good. Yeah, they're not going to be like terrible student parties. No, they're going to be decent.
Yeah, but he would have about, nine a week. It would just be getting a bit much, would it not?
Yeah, but not in your house, in his own.
Well, that's true. He would have
If Sepp can stick it out for 6 weeks, I reckon I could do 2 months. Sepp's about 80.
True. I'm going to give Jim the points again.
Well done, Jim.
Well done to James Milner for being no nonsense.
It's only fair. It's only fair. Let's go to the FA Cup. Hull first. Mm. Let's talk about Hull Sheffield United first. It was 5-3 to Hull, an incredible game. And poor old Sheffield, a remarkable run has come to an end. But it's a funny one, isn't it? Because it's great to see Hull in their first major final. I mean, they won the playoffs, of course. And did you say no?
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that, I don't know, somehow they'd both lose.
You'd hoping it was
given the FA Cup.
Yeah, okay, right.
Because I don't trust them.
Right, we'll come to Arsenal in a minute, Jim, in a minute. But great for Hull.
It was a brilliant game as well, by the way.
It really was. Brayford with his mega beard again.
Yeah.
The rest of him did the work, but the beard was still good.
The beard was there.
Beard was for punctuation, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a shame that that Clough and his men didn't get to the final. A League One side, though, all the way in the semis.
No League One teams ever reached the cup final, I don't think any third-tier team has ever reached the cup final.
Yeah.
And they would have been the first team to do it. And obviously with Brian Clough... as his father, who never won it famously, it would have been fitting. But I mean, I think
it was a big ask, wasn't
it? Nigel Clough's done a good job at Sheffield United since he's come in there. Mm. And I think I get the feeling that he's sort of made his mistakes now, Clough, and his best days as a manager might be in front of him. But I thought Sheffield United showed a lot. They started really well.
2-1 up at half time.
Exactly. And they forced players who have been actually decent and reliable, as far as I've seen this season, like Curtis Davis and Tom Huddleston, Tom Huddleston had a poor first half, and it was telling that he actually got his foot on the ball and managed to affect the game a lot more in the second half that they actually went on to win the game, because obviously he's got the quality.
Yes.
But Sheffield United's runs are really good, and they really put Hull under pressure. And Jose Baxter, who in my view, I mean, from what I've seen, is far too good to be playing in League One.
Yeah.
It was, you know, took his goal well and was a standout player.
But you saw in the second half, that, as you say, Hull just kind of thought, no, we're the Premier League team.
Yeah. Here. You wonder in that sort of situation what a manager says to his players. I mean, do you reckon Steve Bruce is like, come on? He's stick a rock up their ass and say, come on, you've got to do better than this.
I mean, he has to. Yeah. I think that Sheffield United started so well in the first half, and that kind of occasion, obviously they're the underdogs. So sometimes with Hull, and certainly with Arsenal, you could say that they were a bit cagey and were kind of feeling their way around. You know what it's like when you play someone who's worse at you at a sport or anything? Yeah. You don't just batter them straight away. You kind of figure them out and say, OK, let's see what they've got. And actually, Sheffield United showed that they did have a little bit.
And Sheffield United did tire.
Quite often the difference was, you know, you see this in cup ties with teams from a few divisions below their opponents. It is the fitness that makes a difference. And that, you know, that last 20, 15 minutes of the game is where it all comes unstuck, because, you know, they're just chasing shadows after a while.
Which is crazy, isn't it? Because fitness levels...
Yeah, but it's just because they haven't got as much of the ball, isn't it?
True.
Huddleston showed two good feet for his goal. It was a really well-taken goal, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's nice to see. I think we might have talked about this a while back, to see players who are genuinely two-footed. Huddleston seems to be able to be pretty efficient with both his feet. I liked it when Stephen Quinn came on. He really offered them something different as well. He made some really nice runs, and... I sort of felt like Sheffield United towards the end of the game. Obviously, they're chasing the game at some point, so it was difficult for them in patches. But I felt that like they sort of exhausted themselves really in the first half, and they sort of stopped picking up all the runners, and it became sort of a little bit easier for Hull. But you can't be too harsh on Sheffield United. I mean, they've had some run, they've knocked out some good teams,
they've
knocked out some good Premier League teams.
They were knackered. Yeah. I think as soon as the match started, they were like, "Oh, we're not playing Wednesday." Yeah. I wanted to play Wednesday. It would have been easier, but.
Pete, would you like to see Steve Bruce lifting the FA Cup?
No, I would not. Yeah. if only to wipe the image of his already distorted face from the reflection of the cup.
Mean.
Would you
I
like to see,
want to see it?
Yeah, would you like to see
it
Bruce?
It might make him beautiful.
drinking from the FA Cup.
That's the secret. Yeah. It's the elixir of life, yeah.
It could drink it and it could be like the ending of Indiana Jones.
I mean, I think Steve Bruce deserves a great amount of
the latest one.
And his face would unmelt.
Yeah, with the Nazis' faces come on. Oh, yeah. Okay. Steve Bruce is not a Nazi. Let's make that clear.
He's not said anything the contrary.
Yeah, true.
He's never announced Nazism.
I don't think we should assume Nazism if someone doesn't explicitly
Nazi,
say it.
In this little debate, I'm Team Luke, okay?
Can I just be the first to say, don't name the show anything to do with Nazism, yeah?
What, Steve Bruce is a Nazi?
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah, okay, specifically right. Not that.
Steve Bruce might be a Nazi. Yeah. Is that not more acceptable?
He isn't.
He really isn't.
Well, he might be.
Is that Pete's right. He's never renounced it.
Is that why he didn't get an England
Neither cap? Of you, actually, Luke.
That's why he's never capped for England.
Nobody knew that David Bowie was interested in all that Nazi memorabilia until he tried to cross the border.
And Lemmy from Motorhead.
Yeah, exactly.
Another one. Yeah.
Is that right?
Can we talk about something else?
Please.
I was going to say, what a season Hull have had. Yeah. I mean, given that, as Marcus was saying to me on the way here, Hull would... tipped for relegation pretty much from the start. They're going to be, I mean, they may well finish just about mid-table, and they could win the FA Cup. I mean, the FA Cup final and mid-table, you give that to a Hull fan before the season.
Would you argue that Steve Bruce probably is in the same boat as Clough in that his best years are in front of him?
I think he probably will be, yeah, because he's still relatively young for a manager. I mean, he's got not young, but he's got a lot
not
of years ahead of him. No.
He's got a big head.
I said that, and I imagined his face in my head, and was like, "That doesn't sound right."
Yeah. But he has got
a few years ahead of him. I think, yeah, he may well. But the problem is these days with modern football and stuff is that realistically, what Steve Bruce and Hull got ahead of them. I mean, we can't say
if they do, even if they don't win the FA Cup, how do you top a cup final appearance and a sort of, you know, mid-table finish without really pulling up trees, you know, as Hull City?
It's almost like a Tony Pulis thing at Stoke. He's done an amazing job, and all of a sudden, after a while, that becomes less and less of a good job because he can't progress. It's harsh.
You
really
achieve yourself out of a job.
Exactly. Maybe you're basically fired on the standards that you set for yourself.
Yes, because he's gone as far as he can, maybe with a new field.
But if Arsenal get in the top four, that means Hull will be in Europe if they don't win the cup.
Yeah, so, of course.
Amazing.
I mean, is that... That could actually be part of the reason that they have such a difficult next season to follow up, you know, like as Swansea had, you know, when they won the League Cup and ended up in Europe. And
it's so difficult.
It's so many more games for a team that are trying to just consolidate themselves.
I mean, what was Roberto Martinez saying about players he needs to bring in if they're going to be in the Europa League or in Europe next season? He said they need to bring in so many new players. So he's saying like 7 or 8 players because the squad just won't be thick enough. Yeah. To fill them. On that note as well, Arsenal still got a play hole in the league this season, so it might be in their interest to, you know.
Yeah.
You scratch our back, we'll scratch yours.
I thought you were going to say a few big challenges.
No, well, maybe. Or maybe. I don't imagine Arsenal will do that. I've got hardly any players left as it is.
Indeed.
Mm. Yeah,
If Flamini's available, I'm sure he'll probably do the legwork of the rest of the team where that's concerned.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Hull will be playing Arsenal in the final.
Yeah.
Arsenal won 4-2 on pens after it finished 1-1.
I was there.
After extra time. Luke was there.
I was at the game, yeah.
Jim, I want your opinion.
Luke was there.
No, that wasn't to cut you off.
No, it's fair that you did, because I was about to say no, I was horrifically drunk. I wasn't really.
I would have been at the game as well, but I was moving house. And I think I probably got the less stressful of the two options.
Yeah. Certainly less
the majority
boring
of the game.
Now, what I was going to say is that people are kind of having a go at Arsenal saying, oh, look at them celebrating that they got to the cup final.
That is such joyless bullshit.
Is it not fair enough?
They're celebrating getting to the FA Cup final. That is beneath no team.
Yeah.
I find that really frustrating. I think that's one of those kind of... it's just a symptom of the way that the modern football media is now, that so much social media is involved. It's just, you know, just because someone's tweeting some nonsense, it seems to be given some sort of credence.
Well, no, Roy Keane said it.
Yeah.
It came from Roy Keane.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just Roy Keane saying it, though, was it? It was picked up by a lot of people. But yeah, that's ridiculous. It's absolutely nonsense.
I agree with you, but I'm just saying it has come from Keane, who, I mean...
Roy Keane's not got...
I sort of think... I mean, I didn't see the... because obviously I was at the game, so I didn't see the coverage. I saw the quote that Roy Keane... I saw the coverage of Roy Keane saying it. But I don't know whether he was trying to say that they were celebrating too much. There's a job still to be done, or whether he was just saying you shouldn't be celebrating a bit of a championship team. Because if he was saying that, well, may not have beat Millwall in the cup final when he was playing. But I'm pretty sure he celebrated. Yeah, but
I think either case is wrong, because
I agree with you.
A cup final is a wonderful thing. But Roy Keane, like, on his kids' birthdays, does he walk into their rooms going, what are you fucking celebrating for? What have you actually achieved? What, you've not died for a year?
Yes, he has. Yes, he does. Do that.
Stick it up your bollocks.
I think you know he does do that. Yeah. Like, we all know that.
His is not a... The Roy Keane joyometer is not the one that should be
doesn't
used.
Exist.
It's not a thing.
Does not exist. Have you got one, Roy? I've never really had cause to use one, to be honest. It's a waste of money.
Wigan were close again.
They certainly were.
1-0 up, Jordi Gomez.
In the penalty shootout, are we going to ever punish goalkeepers for jumping off the line before
the ball's
kicked?
Do you know what? I was right in line with the goal line.
I was furious at that.
And it was so obvious when you're there in person. It was so obvious. And when they saved the first one, Fabianski, I thought the ref's going to get that retaken. He must, and he didn't. And I was like, wow.
I could not believe that. He narrowed the angle so much. I was like, I can't imagine many players could have.
It's the old Pat Bonner.
Carson was doing the same thing.
You know, I think all keepers do it.
But wasn't that before they tightened up on it, though?
Because there are supposed to be rules against it.
You can move along your line, but not
It's like a token thing, like with the 6 seconds the goalkeeper holds the ball. It's almost like it technically is a law, but they don't really enforce it.
You're going to get to a point where you can dink it over the keeper.
The penalty is supposed to be, initially, of course, it's different for a shootout, but a penalty is supposed to be a punishment for the defending team. If the keeper is supposed to stay on his line to the ball struck, if he moves before that, He's essentially cheating. It's like encroachment, basically.
Yeah. It's about how many times you see encroachment, though. When it is,
I would argue that a penalty is more important than encroachment on, like, a free kick or something like that.
No, but I'm saying in a penalty, for people go in the box when it's taken, very rarely is it pulled
back.
You
don't have that for a shootout anyway.
Yeah. Again, also, no one's been punished in the shootout. That's the difference.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's fair, Jim. I thought the game was right. I was really interested in the I think it's the first time for a very, very long time that I've stood in with Arsenal fans. I took my friend for his birthday, and it's he's an Arsenal fan, so we went on together. And the last time I was there was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, maybe more than that, at an Arsenal Champions League game. It's a group game at home, and it was a bit of a dead rubber, so it was a bit different. But when I was, because of Wigan's fan base is obviously a lot smaller, Arsenal must have had, I don't know the facts, but they must have had 50 or 55,000 there. Mm. It was like an Arsenal home game. It really was like an Arsenal home game. And the fans outside were so loud. I was like, this is an amazing occasion. Mm. They're really up for it because it's a cup semi-final, they haven't been to FA Cup final for a while, blah, blah, blah. And they were singing outside. Got into the ground, it was buzzing. And then, I know this sounds like an Arsenal fan cliche, but I promise you I experienced this. They after about 25 minutes, where I was stood slash sitting, because you're up and down, it got a little bit tetchy, like a little bit like... And then,
oh, it does.
But the thing was, though, there were some fans who seemed aware of it and were trying to stop other fans doing
that. Normal as it happening in the first place, honestly.
Right, OK.
But I went to a few games earlier in the season. I went to the Norwich game and the Napoli game at the Emirates, and that had gone. And there was a real sense of relief from everyone, even the people that do that. Right. That atmosphere is gone. That was tangible. And it's crept back because of the way the season's gone. It's, you know, it's become a repeat of seasons past. And, it's as big a hindrance to the team as injuries and loss of form and everything, because it just repeats that cycle.
I'm not saying this is indicative of all Arsenal fans, because obviously it isn't. And there were a bunch of boys around me singing the whole time, trying to get everyone else to sing and stuff. I sort of really want to say, look, I'm not really an Arsenal fan, but then that would have got me in more trouble, so I just kept quiet. But
I think you'd have been fine.
Yeah,
more trouble being drunk.
I had a Miller Lite in my bag. I didn't want to lose that. Yeah. I didn't want a breadstick snapped over my head. but anyway, there was an Arsenal fan behind me. He was like calling out like Arsenal players individually, like calling them like names and stuff. And he was like, had an Arsenal shirt on at the time. It's really odd.
Okay, we've said this before. At that point, you're not a supporter, you're a heckler.
Yeah, you essentially are a heckler. Yeah,
tell that fella from the fucking Mars advert.
Yeah.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah! Yeah,
went on for that.
Yeah, that's a really bad habit, by the way, Jim. Awful. Jim, surprised you're not in it.
Yeah, I did go up for it.
Fair enough.
I would have done it.
So on the game, on the game itself, I thought that
Jim is a Nazi.
Arsenal sort of did a typical Arsenal, knocked the ball around quite nicely. Wigan were really, really up for it, as you would expect. And Arsenal, it seemed to me, Arsenal didn't really have the confidence. And I know they've had injuries and stuff like that. I didn't have the confidence to get myself over the line, actually get a goal. Mm. And it felt to me, and I've not seen it back, but it felt to me that Wigan, once they scored, they almost sort of went into their shell a bit. And obviously Arsenal were going to have the lion's share of possession. They're going to have their chances. And of course they didn't go on to score.
Also, I think in a quite tight, cagey game, if you do concede with a little bit of time left, your objective becomes one sole thing. So with a team that, you know, let's be honest, Arsenal do have more quality than Wigan, they can just focus entirely on that. And they were in the game a lot more than that. And I was very happy for Mertesacker, having given away the penalty quite cheaply, to then score with his face. It's a real sign of determination and leadership that does lack from Arsenal a lot, but he's certainly not guilty of that.
There was a moment where I was standing where the ball was, I'm not sure if you remember, slightly just before they scored, the ball was cleared off the line. And there was a good couple of hundred people actually genuinely thought it was a goal and celebrated for ages. And obviously it wasn't. But I thought that Wigan almost, I don't think Uwe Rosa, who I consider to be a good manager, would have told him to do this. But it's almost like they subconsciously just sat a lot deeper and really thought, well, we've got the goal. We've got what we came for. We need to really protect it. I think if they had really just stuck to what they were doing normally, they could have maybe ridden it out. Obviously, you never know. And when Callum McManaman went off as well, that was a bit of a blow. I think he looked like he was a bit tired. Really,
they're a remarkable side, Wigan, aren't they?
They really are.
They just don't lie down. You know when they say like if there's there's like a nuclear war, there's going to be cockroaches left. Cockroaches and Wigan Football Club
and probably the Wimpy.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
It's not going anywhere, is it?
There's a little bit of annoyance from Hull and Arsenal as well. Arsenal a bit unhappy with their allocation of 25,000 tickets for the final. And Hull, they're annoyed because the final will kick off at 5 p.m. The last train back to Hull from London is 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Probably put another train on.
Well, but why have...
Just do a later one.
Well, if it presumably finishes in normal time, that's about 7. Yeah. You can get to King's Cross for 8.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, 25,000 people. And if it, even, and if it goes into extra time...
I'll try to be facetious, but you've taken it at face value, so...
But what I would
that's backfired.
What I would say is, Jim, that also one train would not contain 25,000 people.
Get a quadruple-decker train that hasn't been built yet.
Get one from France or something.
That would be brilliant.
Some of them would drive.
That would be brilliant.
Some of them will drive.
It's not the first...
Why is it at 5 anyway?
It's not the first time that, football authorities and train companies haven't really...
Thought this through?
Yeah, not talk to each other.
Oh, they're happy to take the alcohol away from people, aren't they? Yeah. On the trains.
Yeah.
So people don't scroll NUFC on the windows.
Damn them. Damn them all, Pete. So, yes, the FA Cup will be... the final will be played at Wembley between Arsenal and Hull. I think we all knew that.
Yeah.
But I just thought I'd remind you.
Yeah.
Jim, are Arsenal going to do it?
I do think Arsenal will do it, yeah. I think Arsenal will finish fourth as well.
They can only finish first or second.
They have to. In the league.
Okay, sorry.
You numpty.
Cheap one.
I do think they'll win it just because they have to win it. They're under so much more pressure. Yeah. And they're a better side than they've been playing lately. And I think the severity of the situation of the final five league games of the season means that they will pull it together. I believe in them.
The answer is that essentially what form they're going to be in going into that game. I mean, they're not in great form at the moment. That weekend game's come at a time when they're not playing very well.
Yeah, but they've got the result. And they've got the result.
And they may well, they've got a reasonably straightforward run in. If they go win all those games, then they're going to be in good form going into it.
So we play West Ham tonight. Let's see how that goes. I might look very silly in the morning, but we'll see.
Do people still sing the trembly knee song about going to Wembley? Because obviously they do the semis at Wembley as well, so it's like my knees have gone on.
No, that was a Spurs song from the 80s.
Yeah.
Was it just Spurs, though?
Yeah, it's Ozzy Ardila. But you're right. I mean, there's no
reason for your knees to go trembly twice.
Some of the magic has dissipated, Pete, yeah. I think we can all agree on that.
Some of the trembling has dissipated.
Our knees getting tremblier.
No, they're getting less trembly, I think.
Well, let's move on to the Premier League. It's interesting you say Arsenal will win it because they had to win it. Liverpool beat Manchester City because they had to win that match. Mm. The weekend, of course, marked the 25th anniversary of the Hillsborough disaster, and all the games on the weekend kicked off 7 minutes later than normal with a minute's silence. And the atmosphere and scenes in the stadium before kickoff. That's a Super Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, yes. It was like they won the game twice.
Yeah.
And they went two up, and then it was like, oh, fine. You scored twice, we'll just win it again.
If you were shown that footage after the win without the sound on, you would potentially think they'd won the league.
Yeah. Well, the occasion, I mean, it was so enormous that I know we have, you know, we're fortunate in the Premier League. We have a lot of big games every year, and we've seen title deciders. You know, Arsenal and Manchester United have played a couple over the years and whatnot. But this game, the size of this occasion, because of obviously the history, the well documented history on the 25th anniversary, and so much more, the first league trophy that Liverpool may win since I think 1990 or 1890, something like that. It was massive.
Yeah. I would like to see what
absolutely enormous.
Roy Keane has to say on the matter. Frankly, they're already celebrating. What have you achieved? Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, "Well, I played in bigger games."
Yeah, you probably would have done. Yeah, I think that it was clear from the start that this was going to be a summer occasion. And just to throw back to something we mentioned last week, there was no goal music when Liverpool scored.
Yeah,
it was a proper roar.
Well, there could have been. We just wouldn't have heard.
Yeah, exactly. And the way that feeds into the point we were trying to make, you don't need it. And Liverpool fans are obviously decent, and that atmosphere looked absolutely incredible.
It was just something else.
And I love the way that the two teams were set up properly as well. Like, Rodgers wasn't like, well, it's Man City, they're good. He was like, well, we're sticking with what we know.
We're good.
Yeah, we go forward. And they tried to bash him out of the park in the first half, which they almost managed to do as well, which is incredible.
Some massive events are a disappointment, and this wasn't one of those ones.
Yeah. We went through a phase in the Premier League of having seemingly quite big games between sort of Chelsea, Man United, Arsenal, Chelsea, and a lot of them seem to be damp squibs, you know.
Yeah.
And but this game, I never thought this game would be like that. I mean, because the team's biggest weaknesses at the back, and they both just score so many goals. Mm. You just can't really see. I just don't think they've got the capacity to do it.
Yeah.
If Liverpool at any stage between now and the end of the season, or any stage over the last couple of months, just try to shut up shop and not play, they wouldn't be successful. No. That's not what their strength is.
And I think there's few teams as well that have gone for the league in recent years where all the neutrals, or certainly an enormous chunk of the neutrals, are behind.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, in Liverpool's case.
But people also say that Liverpool can see too many goals to win the title. But actually, at home against top teams, that's not true. I think they've played six. I think in the six games they've played against the top seven at home, or the five games they've played, because they've still got to play Chelsea, I think they've conceded like three goals.
I'd love that argument. Well, you conceded too many goals. Yes, but we've got
scored
enough points.
If
you'd have shown a video of Coutinho's winner, I don't think even he would have believed that he'd been able to hit the target, because the first couple of shots he had were awful.
And he seemed quite... I remember thinking, just before that went in, I was just sat at home watching it. I just remember thinking to myself, oh, he looks really tired. And he still managed to keep his composure and his technique and everything.
Well, in the first half, Liverpool looked a different gear, didn't they? The pace.
We've seen it so many times from them this season, just come out of the blocks flying.
What about Sterling's goal?
Oh.
I'm just going to have a little second and then slot it in the corner. I mean, that's it. It was just, there was company and heart, and the way he just...
Just took heart out of the game.
He had the ball, you know, a few minutes into the game, 5 minutes, whatever it was, in front of the cop in that game. To have that composure and then to just stop and think, yeah, I'll knock it past, and then 1-0.
They just can't deal. No team that I've seen can deal with Liverpool's pace in the counter-attack. Mm. And so when Liverpool come out of the blocks like that, as they always do this season, and they flew at City, And I think, I mean, so Suarez played the ball through to Sterling. Yeah. And I think Hart panicked a little bit. And I'll tell you a couple of things on that goal, just a couple of observations. Vincent Kompany always, always defends on the front foot. He can't defend any other way. Yeah. So his lack of flexibility in as a defender, obviously he's a great player, but his lack of flexibility as a defender is something that keeps him from being one of the world's best defenders, in my view. And he always defends on the front foot, which means he makes decisions, but he doesn't always need to make them. And then Joe Hart also panicked and came out. Mm. And as a keeper, as we all know, when you come out, you can't go back. What's he going to do? Turn around, run back towards his goal? Yeah, he can't take a back step. He can't do anything. So once he's made a decision, that decision's made. That's what they always say if you're a keeper. If you're not sure, stay at home because you'll make yourself look silly.
Well, we've said this before. Hart's charged out before.
Yeah, but the composure Sterling showed at his age in a game of that magnitude, given that he's been in and out of the team earlier in the season for not showing the discipline and for various different reasons, to come in and do that, I thought was absolutely superb. And it does bode well. If he can keep his feet on the ground, he could be such a big player. Yeah, he really could.
Do you think Clattenburg should have sent off Suarez for his dive?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was a second yellow.
Absolutely a dive, wasn't it? It was shocking.
I couldn't tell whether, I mean, because obviously you can have contact and you can also have a dive as well. So, I mean, we still would have been within his rights to send him off if he wanted to. But I couldn't tell whether Di Michaelis caught him with his trailing foot or not.
I just always assumed Di Michaelis has messed up somehow, so I just give him the
maybe it's that. Maybe subconsciously I'm thinking, yeah, Di Michaelis must have found that.
I mean, Suarez was also denied a penalty at one point, and Martin Skrtel did punch the ball away at some point.
Yeah. Oh, there were that a couple was a of shocker, wasn't it?
Dodgy moments.
Isn't it incredible? You look at it and think it could have swung.
Well, Dzeko should have had a penalty with that Sarko challenge as well.
Well, it did. I mean, all of these events didn't kind of overshadow what was a great, great.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Oh, it's impossible going to referee for Clattenburg. The pace of it.
Do you think that Clattenburg's, the word Clattenburg sounds like a drum kit falling over?
Yeah, it's like an onomatopoeia.
Yeah. I think the Premier League probably thought, this is a massive occasion. Who are we going to get? Who we need a referee who's not going to be intimidated. Who thinks he's bigger than the occasion?
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised when he trotted out.
Shall we break out Robo Ref 2000? Hello.
There's a really great bit.
I am Clattenbutt.
There's a really great bit in the punditry where Gary Neville pointed out, where he said that look how well Clattenburg keeps up with play against top athletes.
To be fair.
They're not exactly known, really, for being top athletes. Referees, and then in this day and age, they have to be, especially in a game like that. I mean, if you said to anyone, any sort of casual person who likes running or keeps quite active, you've got to keep up with Raheem Sterling for 90 minutes. It's ridiculous.
But also, it's the mental exhaustion as well.
Of course,
He's focused more than the players.
I mean, exactly, because we've done games before where we've just played casual kick-arounds and stuff, and we've had to rotate out and have a get 10 minutes going, doing the referee with the whistle and that stuff.
Hit that.
Yeah. How difficult is it to not let your mind wander and think about something else?
But I don't even like managing. When I have set up a team to play 11s, I usually get you to manage because you shout at people. I don't like doing it.
Sort of a natural leader. But you could make an argument, going back to the game, you can make an argument that Kompany was at fault for all of the goals because he clouded, he blocked Hart's view.
For the header?
For the first goal. He let Skrtel go for the second goal, and obviously the mistake he made for the third. Mm.
Skrtel's header was brilliant, though. A lot of people say that was a very simple goal. He had a lot to do there.
He's been one of the best defenders in the Premier League this season.
Mm. He's got a lot of goals of late.
So seven really Premier League goals this season.
But a lot of them have come recently as well.
He scored 2-1 game recently, I seem to remember, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that as well.
But in the second half, it was so different the way, obviously, Liverpool... You can't keep that up the whole game, but City just suddenly thought, hang on a minute, we're a decent side as well.
We're not having this.
And they came back into it. And your man, James Milner, made a difference, didn't he, when he came on?
I think that Liverpool's greatest strength against good teams can sometimes come back to haunt them based on that. Because you go 2-0 up and you think, well, bloody hell, that's a good score. We'll take that all day.
Yeah.
But then if you continue to attack, you leave gaps.
But it's so blistering.
But what I'm saying is they almost gamble early on. If we're ruthless, we'll go a goal or two up. They do it against every team. But once they are 2-0 up, if they carry on trying to do that, they'll leave gaps because people will start to get tired and Man City are a good team. So they don't really want to do that. But if they change their type of play, they're not used to it and it makes it difficult for them. And so I'm not taking anything away from City, who battled really hard to get back into the game. But it was almost when Milner came on and sort of showed how really important it is to make the right decisions, and if you do that properly,
But what I liked about
go a long way.
What I liked about Milner's performance is he showed that he's. Some people forget, you know. Obviously,
he started out as a decent winger, basically.
The answer to your opening question is, but you know, people do think he is that kind of. Yeah, he'll get the job done, and he's fine. He's got a bit of craft to him. Hmm. And actually, when people say he shouldn't be on the plane to Brazil and whatnot, I mean, there may be an argument there, but don't be surprised if he is.
Mm. Yeah, I think he'll start.
That's exactly
game.
The sort of player you need.
Yeah,
he's the sort of player that Hodgson will start with against Italy in the first game of the World Cup because he is that reliable. But it doesn't mean he's just that. He can do other things as well.
Of course,
I was going to say to you about the winner. Liverpool scored against the momentum of the play and stuff, which is so impressive. It's an absolutely textbook example of how ruthlessly mistakes are punished at the top level.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, you make one mistake, and it wasn't even that bad.
Yeah.
It was a terrible clearance. Yeah.
Coutinho had a lot to do.
Yeah. And he's just ruthlessly punished him, and that's that. And that could be, if you extrapolate that out, we'll see how it pans out, but that could be the thing that cost him the title.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Well, the Chelsea game now becomes massive because, you know, Jose Mourinho knows how to blunt an attacking team more than anybody.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fascinating.
Mourinho,
I mean, he will just try and put them in a vice.
Well, we'll see, won't we? But, I mean, Jordan Henderson.
It's a big miss. But, I mean, you'd think that Lucas or Joe Allen will come in and start there.
I think Joe Allen probably was.
Well, they're tactically flexible enough to they don't always have to play that diamond. So you wouldn't necessarily have to replace life.
Again, one of the great strengths of that Liverpool side, and Brendan Rodgers.
Mm. Who, I thought, just on final point of Man City's point of view, I thought Garcia found it really difficult when he came off of Torre.
Yeah.
I mean, Torre's got his faults and stuff and can sometimes sort of let you down, but Garcia's not in the same bracket, really.
Horrible way to get injured, isn't it?
Difficult game.
Shanking the ball over the bar.
Difficult game to come in and as a sub.
Yeah, mate. Listen, after 15, 16 minutes, everyone's just about warmed up. I just wanted to mention that earlier in the season I said that I thought Liverpool were a better team without Gerrard in it. I did think that at the time, but the second half of the season, he has been so good.
Yeah.
He has been so good.
And it was nice to see him not giving Jeff Shreves anything in an interview.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I thought that was poor by Shreves. Because
really?
No, I'll tell you why, though. Because...
you know how we said Milner won't let you down?
Yeah, he will.
Well, Shreves...
He was trying to get Gerrard to say they're going to win the title. Mm. And it was clear that Gerrard wasn't going to say that. And rather than just use his moment properly and get a good interview out of him, he just kept trying to push the point. Yeah. It was a bit of a waste of time, I thought.
Yeah,
which is a shame after such a big game.
Yeah, totally.
Liverpool fans need to hope that Gerrard's not been emotionally drained by that.
Yeah.
Because they've got to go again at the weekend.
But I think that's... I don't think there's any danger of that. He's so experienced now, and this means everything to him.
But that huddle was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, but this is the Brendan Rodgers factor, I'm sure. He is instilled in those players. Every game, just we take one game at a time, because some managers would get a little bit, oh, crap, you know, and a little bit shaky at the thought of we're now in pole position. But that team has been is tactically fantastic. Their performances have been great. They've got quality. They're not the best team in they're not the best squad in the league, but he's used it so well.
And team spirit's good as
Rodgers
well.
Rodgers has so much credit.
Yeah.
The way he conducts himself in interviews is such a calm... presence as well, and the way he is with those players, you hear about his man management as well. He's so impressive.
I think it might come down to Liverpool might have a bit more in the tank as well compared to the other teams. Yeah. The Chelsea have still got a semi-final of the Champions League to play. Haven't they,
so. It's a shame for Jordan Henderson because you saw him miss control and he ran after it and you thought, yeah, the crowd are urging them on so much, and he's probably thought, I need to win that ball back at all costs.
Yeah.
And it was a red card, and they'll miss him for three games. He hasn't missed a game all season, I think.
Yeah, Sturridge has potentially got an injury as well, which is worrying for them. I think he went off with a hamstring. So if they miss both of them for a couple of games or three games or whatever it is, it could be difficult. But, I mean, listen, they're not going to have any... I don't think they'll have any trouble beating Norwich.
No.
They've got a good record against them. The Chelsea game was obviously a difficult one. Crystal Palace away is tough because Tony Pulis would absolutely love to get something out of that game, wouldn't he?
Yes.
And then they'll beat Newcastle, so... it'd be interesting to see how it pans out.
Very interesting indeed. Down the bottom, Fulham beat Norwich 1-0. This is one I was talking about last week. And I was thinking that the loser would go down. I mean, Norwich, we know how bad their running is, of course. They've got Liverpool next, then Manchester United away, Chelsea away, Arsenal home. And dear, oh dear. But, excuse me. But Cardiff beat Southampton away.
Mm.
Absolutely incredible. Amazing win for them. I spoke last week about Lewis Holtby. He's only a loanee in the passionate celebration. Well, Juan Cala, the Cardiff loanee, got the vital goal. Great goal for Cardiff in that
great win. Goal for a centre-back.
Yeah, indeed. At the end of the game, he was passionately beating the turf. absolutely loving it. I was like, yes, this is a great advert for the low knee system.
You can't really beat...
Which is needed, because at the moment it's a farce. Well, yeah.
You can't really sort of beat dispassionately, can you really?
Yeah, no, that's true. I'll tell you, in celebration.
The greatest ever beat of the turf
Sammy Kafur.
Yeah. But I think with Cardiff in particular, though, you're looking at that result, thinking they've got Sunderland and Newcastle to play. Neither of them look interested in playing football at the moment. Yeah. I genuinely think that's as guaranteed and as nailed on 6 points has been this season, I think. Sunderland and Newcastle.
Sunderland scored their 7th own goal of the season.
Last week, Wes Brown busted his eye up. This week, he's scoring an own goal. He's having a terrible end of the season. Bearing in mind how well he played at the start of it.
I thought a keeper who I used to rate really highly, who sort of went off the board a bit, came back to form for them, David Stockdale.
Marshall in goal for Cardiff was on good form as well. Zaha nearly scored a beauty at the end of that game. That was one of those ones where you think, just let it in.
But what about Roddy Ager, though?
I mean, I was just going to pipe up myself about Roddy Ager scoring a goal, but more impressive to me than that was heading one pretty much off the line late in the game. Those are the performances you need if you're going to dig in and stay up at this stage.
I'm pretty sure that obviously he scored last week as well. I'm pretty sure he scored the goal to keep Wigan up at the Britannia in 2011.
Yeah. He knows.
Last day of the season,
knows
Britannia.
How to do it.
Was it at the Britannia? Yeah, I think it was at the Britannia. He scored anyway and he kept them up. He loves it. Absolutely loves it. Well, the reason I brought up Stockdale is because he was playing under... Who's your man, the goalkeeper?
Before
they had Stekelenburg in goal.
Schwarzer.
Before Stekelenburg came in.
And
Stockdale was like an able understudy for ages, just to come in, do a good job.
He went out on loan, I think.
He did go out on loan for a while. Came back, and then obviously Schwarzer moved on. And you thought, well, okay, he's going to get his chance now. And then he signed Stekelenburg, who's an international goalkeeper.
Stockdale, for me, is a number one.
You reckon?
Premier League number one. Mm. I think he's that good. Not
at a club with Fulham's spending power, I think, though. They do spend a lot of money.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's had some pretty dirty defenders in front of him, I suppose.
Speaking of the Sunderland match, not even the Sunderland match, to be honest. Did you see Fabio Barini licking the telly?
Yeah, it was weird.
The telly.
There was a picture of his girlfriend on TV.
It's like you're in the middle of a relegation fight and one of your players is tweeting pictures of himself licking the telly.
Yeah, we should say that wasn't during the game. Like a monitor at the side of the pitch.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, licking a camera.
Oh, you fourth official, give us that for a minute. You shouldn't be watching that anyway, but if you are, I'm going to have a lick.
I will lick everything. I'll put it in my mouth like a dagger.
That was like that.
I will lick us clear of the relegation. Somehow.
Oh dear.
That was like that monitor that was seen with a load of pictures of like Google image of dogs at the Manchester United. Was that the Champions League game?
It was, yeah.
It's whatever.
Did you see the journalist I can't remember his name. I don't even know. I never knew his name. But he piped out with an explanation saying that Danny Welbeck, I thought at the time for my match report that Danny Welbeck was running around like a particular dog, but I couldn't remember the breed of dog, so I looked it up on Google. And I love the idea that all he put in Google was just dogs.
Image dogs.
Yeah.
It's something we all do from time to time, I think. What's happening at a Villa, though? What's happening with Culverhouse?
My goodness.
It's a bit weird. Like, they've got rid of, like, Shea Given's now assistant manager or something.
I love the way they released that as a press release. They didn't say Ian Culverhouse has been fired or suspended. They just said, we are delighted to announce the promotion of Gordon Cowles and Shea Given.
But then apparently, like, Lambert supported this move, so I want to know what has happened there. Wonderful. Did you remember when Lambert, I think he celebrated a goal, like it was like the back end of last season, and Lambert jumped on the back of Culverhouse, but Culverhouse couldn't take his weight or he just moved forward at the wrong time, so it was a really kind of slow central bumming he got from Lambert. It's on YouTube somewhere. It's really weird.
Tagged a slow central bumming.
That's what I Google after dogs.
Sometimes with dogs.
Dogs are optional and should remain so. Fulham and Cardiff are the ones that are looking...
Well, as you said, Marcus, you said that Fulham had to win that game, and if they did, you think they might stay up. Fair enough. Cardiff also had to win. If Cardiff didn't win that game, then
do you fancy then? Because Fulham are away to Spurs, home to Hull, away to Stoke, home to Palace, whereas Cardiff, home to Stoke, away to Sunderland, away to Newcastle, at home to Chelsea. I mean, Cardiff have probably got slightly the more favourable.
I would go down the line.
They've got Newcastle.
Well, I'll go down the route of saying that Sunderland are bottom and down, I think.
Norwich too.
Norwich, because they're running, yeah, I agree with you, they're down. And it's one other from that, isn't it? But I'll tell you what, I don't like the look of West Brom's running very much. And they're not winning anything. They can't win games at home.
Yeah, so 3-0 up and don't win.
Yeah. Isn't that the second time in a row at home they've considered they go on the last minute?
I think so.
Yeah, but because of their goal difference, though, they've effectively got an extra point on Fulham and Cardiff.
Yeah, but if they hadn't conceded those two last-minute goals, they'd have four extra points and they'd be safe.
They love a 3-all down there.
They do. We all do. Yeah. I'm not sure the fans do.
Poor people. Hmm. Poor West Brom.
So we'll have
people.
To wait and see. I don't really like predicting the old relegation.
No.
You always end up looking
silly, them all to stay up. And we want them all to get promoted.
I think the league should get bigger every year.
The FL 108 or whatever it would be. What about League One, though? Let's go down to League One. Wolves are promoted back to the Championship.
Great news.
Yeah. Nobody else thinks that.
Well, I think that they're a little bit of a wobble, didn't they?
A
period where they drew and lost one after the other, and you thought, hang on a minute, they had a really shit result against Crawley, I think it was, wasn't it? But anyway, they're sort of always going to get promoted. I mean, 13 points clear or something. So.
Well done, Wolves.
It's good to see them back up. They've got an amazing fan base. Yeah, massive fan base, you know.
Brentford lost, but the Bees are still 7 points above or in third with four.
I feel bad for the O's. Because the O's were going great guns at the beginning of the season.
They really were.
And they went in that period where they went five games without winning at a real key period. Yeah. And if they had just picked up maybe two or three wins.
Well, their run was Roma-esque, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But Brentford, though, after what happened last season, at the end of last season,
they missed the penalty.
You wouldn't begrudge them, would you?
No, you wouldn't.
Would you?
You'd have to have a very hard heart indeed to begrudge them that.
Luton didn't manage to do it over the weekend. I thought they were going to do it over the weekend.
Oh,
they didn't do it over the weekend.
Yeah.
Guys, they didn't do it over the weekend.
Stop saying weekend.
They'll do it over another weekend, all right?
There's still time.
There's loads of time.
They've pretty much done it. They're 10 points clear and the team below them has got four games left. I don't think they're not going
to
do it.
Well, don't lose to Braintree Town.
Okay. Yeah. That's a general rule.
On the weekend.
Yeah. Don't go to Braintree Town. That would be my advice.
Where it is. Sounds like a racehorse.
Essex.
Racehorse, I mean. Okay. Courses for horses.
It's in Essex, isn't it, Jim?
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. There are trees there, but
not many brains.
Not intelligent.
Is that where
ones.
The pink toothbrush is?
I think that might be in Rayleigh.
Oh, it is Rayleigh. Yeah, that's correct.
What's the pink toothbrush?
The nightclub.
They've got cages for women, I think.
I thought it was like some massive big monument.
Like the Angel of the North?
Yeah.
The pink toothbrush of Essex.
That would be much better than some crap nightclub. Agree with me.
At least go there first. At least experience it for yourself.
Let's go abroad. Let's go to the league.
Pete's probably done a DJ set there at some point. Yeah.
I've DJed the giant ball of twine in Utah.
You probably got off of lasses there.
Shout out,
please. Real Madrid 4, Almeria 0. Bale scored again. 19 goals this season. Mm. That's really sort of gone under a lot of people's radars.
That's like it's only like 30 million a goal.
Yeah, but that's
brilliant.
That's always what happens to every British footballer. They go,
Unless it's David Beckham.
Even David Beckham to a certain extent, I'd say. Just, as soon as they're off the Premier League radar, people go, oh, he wasn't a success there. Yeah, he fucking was.
It's almost like Bale's playing in a really, really good team that are loads better than everyone else, is many times the budget.
Not better than everybody else.
Well, more or less.
Because they're neighbours.
How many goals has he got in Classico this season, eh?
Bale?
I wouldn't know, yeah.
Well, do your own research. only Ronaldo and Benzema have scored more than him for Madrid. Very impressive. Of course, they beat Dortmund 3-2 in aggregate. They'll face Bayern Munich in the semi-final of the Champions League. Pep coming up against Real Madrid again. Mm. Lovely.
Aye.
Narrative all over.
That's just going to be cracking.
Dortmund beat Bayern 3-0 at the Allianz on the weekend. I know Bayern have won the league, but still, Guardiola's biggest defeat as manager.
Their record, it's not quite as bad as Newcastle sort of in terms of end of season sort of slump.
It isn't as bad.
I just enjoyed the comparison. To be mentioned in the same sentence. Yeah.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
But if you compare it to how good they were before that, it's almost a bit amateurish the way they're behaving now.
True. Two losses on the bounce.
It's not acceptable.
Didn't let the local press, though, did they?
No.
After the defeat. Didn't ban the local press from doing the post-match interviews and then, get when the local press have a go at them, complain about it.
Yeah.
Pard you out.
We're still talking about Bayern Munich.
If we're talking about Munich,
It often happens with a very successful unbeaten run that once a team loses, they then lose again and have quite a few bad results.
Late Norient and Roma,
exactly.
I think it tells its own story when Bayern Munich have gone till the end of March without losing a single league game. and as soon as they won the title, they lost two in a row. It's unprofessional. It's not acceptable. And for that reason, chaps, I will not be renewing my season ticket by me next season.
Good. Good. Atletico Madrid won 2-0. Simeone's men are 3 points above second place Madrid and 4 above Barcelona. I mean, like we say, there's effectively 4 points above Real Madrid because they have a better head-to-head. Atletico beat Barcelona in the Champions League. They'll be up against Chelsea in the semi-finals of that Champions League. Pete, I thought you might quite like this. Atleti's assistant coach, Germán Burgos, was seen wearing a Google Glass during the match against Getafe.
Nice. Oh, that is wicked. I didn't know that.
I mean, yeah, Google, he was. Are they called Google Glass? Yeah. Or are they Google Glasses?
No, Google Glass.
It's a shame. The idea it's of a Google Glass, he has like a monocle.
Yes, yeah. A Google monocle.
Well, on that note, I actually read today on that there internet that Google have filed a patent for Google Glass, but contact lenses.
Oh, right, okay.
I mean, they're being developed for games consoles.
Donaldson, you're having that. Donaldson, you must be having that. Well,
I was a man
who could live in the internet.
I was a man who bought an Oculus Rift on yesterday, which is a 3D PC peripheral.
Pete, would you
I like them since I've been bought by Facebook. Pathetic.
Would you like to live in the internet, Pete?
I would, actually. That's where I spend a lot of my time, looking at dogs.
Uh-huh. And which footballer would you like to be your landlord for the internet?
Barry Dogs.
You know those people... Good choice. It's a good choice.
Speaking of Barry's, Luke and I saw possibly Barry Davis on the way to the studio.
Really?
Yeah. I was not... Did you just see an old man?
It's better than no Barry Davis at all.
I never said it wasn't.
It's better than a Barry Davis vacuum. Yeah. Well, if a Barry Davis falls over in a forest, no one's around to see it.
Some people say it's the hope that kills you. It's the hope that keeps you alive.
Well, there's hope, there's life.
That's right.
Well, there's life, there's hope, whatever.
Where there's hope, there's Barry.
Yeah, I didn't know Mark was going to bring this up, but I shall tell the story very briefly. We meet at Hammersmith Station before the show to get the tube, and then Marcus was 3 or 4 minutes late, so I was standing on the platform waiting for him. Yeah, I know, waiting for him.
I was having a meeting.
That was an anomaly. Yeah.
And so I was waiting for, and trains were going past, and after a while, I saw Barry Davis.
Right.
I think it was him.
And you said, what a contrast to the previous train.
No, and I don't know why this thought was, oh my God, Marcus better get here any time soon. He's got to get here. Because if he misses this, one, he's not going to believe me, and two, when he does finally believe me, it's going to be the worst day of his life. Like Brian McDermott.
Yeah.
And
you know, you just get so excited, you don't know what to do.
Yeah,
you go, this needs to happen now. I remember being like, in a lobby of a hotel, and the world's biggest McFly fan I was meeting in about 5 minutes, but then McFly appeared and I was like, this is the worst day for that person and they don't even bloody know it.
Did you tell them?
I did tell them.
A true friend would have kept it quiet. Yeah. But to finish the story off, because we just look like complete weirdos, Marcus obviously turned up, didn't know I was in a Barry Davis fog, and sort of ushered me on the waiting train. And I was like, but Marcus, I think that's Barry Davis. And the door's closed.
Oh, no.
So we bent down, we're looking through the window, and he was going, I'm not sure if it is him. I don't know if it is him. We must
sliding
be like absolute
doors.
Weirdos.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'm going to say, in summary, it was definitely him.
In summary, Barry Davis.
I'm not. Yeah. It could have been.
Yeah.
Could have been Barry.
Could have been him.
Could have been Barry.
And you have to say, that's magnificent.
Oh, very good. Where were we? Atletico Madrid. Google Glass. Oh, yes, that's right. Granada beat Barcelona 1-0.
Mm.
They're in trouble and the fans are not happy. Barcelona, when they returned from Granada, obviously they went back to the new camp so the players could get their cars and drive home, but the fans were outside chanting. They're accusing players of saving themselves with the World Cup, and they're also unhappy with Andoni Zubizarreta, the club sporting director. I did like this. In amongst other nasty shouts, apparently they were shouting, you're ridiculous, all of you. Get out, you first, Zubi.
Specific hatred.
Yeah.
Usually it's the keeper that shouts, get out.
Yeah,
get out. After
very organised. I wonder what their exact sort of rota of people leaving is.
Well, Jim,
start with Zubizarreta.
Do you remember when
he's number one in the squad, so it's fine.
Barcelona were really good, and then we chatted about them, and you said, oh, yeah, their admin's really good, total admin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But their admin's fallen to pieces.
Exactly.
So I've got another example of it, because, you know, obviously they mucked up, and Sandro Ross had to stand down because of the Neymar thing. I read today, and I have to sort of caveat this by saying it was a translated into English marker piece, so it might not be quite on the detail. But
you're definitely coming on the side of Steve Bruce isn't a Nazi, but you'll have a go with this one.
Well, Brucey gets the benefit of the doubt. I read apparently that Barcelona accidentally announced their plans to change their manager, Tata Martino, in the summer, and some stuff about Lionel Messi. Because someone sent a WhatsApp message to the wrong person.
Oh, wow.
And it's one of those things that I just really, really want to be true. So I don't care about it.
No, it can't be, because it would be a fax to the wrong person.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. No, but you can imagine, if anyone was going to be using WhatsApp, it would be an ex-Guardiola team, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Atletico Madrid, march on. They march on. Just before we go to the Middle East, I was in Poland on the weekend, saw a Wisla Krakow play. They lost 1-0 on the weekend. A ticket was £1.
Wow. You can't argue with that, can you?
A scarf was 7 times the amount of a match day ticket.
Wow. So if that was at Wembley for the semi-final at the weekend, that means in order to buy a scarf outside Wembley on that basis, it would have cost me £420.
Wow. Are they not saying that the quality of football is 1/7 of a scarf?
I think so, Jim.
And would that be accurate, Marcus, when you saw the game?
Well, they lost 1-0. It was hilarious because the opposition team, whose name I won't bother with, because I'll embarrass myself.
Like Mick McCarthy.
I'll just call him...
Left back.
I'll just call him Oppo. the game started tremendously well. One of the opposition players thumped a half volley from about 30 yards out, off the bar, off the keeper's back and in.
Wow.
And we were all sitting there going, this could be the greatest day of our lives. That was the only moment, the whole 15 seconds.
It's just a midfield slugfest.
89 minutes, 45 seconds later. Although I did see, actually, this was lovely to see in the flesh, one of the Wisla
Barry
players.
Barry Davies.
Commentating,
possibly.
I wasn't sure. One of the Wisla players, right at the end of the game, smashed one of the opposition players and then kind of carried on and then did one of the other players as well after the whistle, I think. And the referee was like, right, yellow for that one, you're off.
In the same motion, that's brilliant.
Isn't it just?
Excellent.
I was like, that's worth £1, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely marvellous stuff, yeah. And there was a terrible missed penalty as well.
So. What, how was it missed?
Sent
it
blazed wide. And the guy was booed off when he got subbed. That's class.
Brilliant.
5,000 people in a 30,000-odd stadium.
It's not great, is it?
More noise than some Premier League grounds.
Yeah.
More noise. So, yeah, that was... there you go. Krakow, lovely place. Go and visit. And make sure you see Wisla while you're there. And do buy a scarf. Otherwise, that club will go under. Now,
let's... Not a demand replacement on listeners today. Suppose I can listen to this to the show on the way. Commute to Poland.
Let's go to Iran. In Iran, eh? During an Iranian league match. Did you see this? Have you seen this? Jim, you've seen this. A substitute made a goal line clearance when an attacker rounded the keeper. But the substitute was still an unused substitute at the time.
What, bib on?
He was warming up.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So he rounded the keeper, the forward player, slotted it for what he thought was going to...
So presumably the referee sent him off, but that wouldn't have made any difference.
Well, the referee gave him...
not even the best bit.
The referee gave him a red card, which obviously didn't have any consequence on the match, and an indirect free kick was awarded on the 6-yard line, which amounted to nothing.
It's the perfect crime.
Yeah. I'm struggling to see why that's... I mean, that's... Isn't that the letter of the law?
I can
imagine.
Why aren't
more people doing this?
I can imagine Brendan Rodgers reading that story before the last day of the season, just going to himself, okay. That's a perfect... There's got to be some sort of fine involved. They can't get away with that. Like some sort of banning of points deduction.
Well, fortunately, the team won 2-0.
Okay. Was the sub a keeper, I like to think?
I think he was, wasn't he?
Okay.
He saved it. He still
did. He have his gloves on?
Do you know what the funny thing was, though? Actually, he saved it with his head. Like, he headed it over the bar. Just use your hands. You've got that bar.
Stop making it up for yourself.
Yeah. Use a trowel. Shoot the ball with a gun.
Yeah. Now is not the time to be honourable.
Yeah, bring a cricket bat out. It doesn't matter. The offence is still the same.
Yeah.
Do you remember a Champions League game?
Better not use my hand. He might send me off.
Do you remember there was a Champions League game where it was a Turkish side who did it? I forget who they were playing, but there was a break against them and they were clearly going to concede. So one of the Turkish team's staff on the bench threw another ball onto the pitch and the ref had to stop the game.
Wow.
But that's amazing. The thing, though. You're right. What
I'd like to see more of this. I mean, it's a lot very creative.
Creative, yeah.
Yeah.
Bending the rules
are there to be disregarded.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Liverpool versus Manchester City, that happening? It's just ridiculous, isn't it? Absolutely ridiculous. Right, and lastly, to Brazil. I've got a Pelé update for you all. He's recently unveiled his latest business venture, which is him selling strands of his hair for around £4,500 a strand.
That is steep. Very steep. That's a lot of money. I don't care if he is Pelé.
I know.
You know.
The strands will be fashioned into diamonds. and sold in a gold-plated
box. How many stones do you need for that? How many stones you need for a diamond?
Is that even possible? Shouldn't Pele people, just assuming it is?
Shouldn't more people do this if you can make diamonds out of your hair?
Yeah. You can make diamonds on everything, can't you?
Yeah.
But it just it takes a lot of energy.
Provided it's got carbon atoms, rude.
Is that right?
Peanut butter.
You're saying it's just energy that are in the way of people...
Yeah,
making their hair into diamonds.
Tell you what,
could you make your hair into diamonds while it was still on your head? Could you have diamond hair?
I think the pressures involved might render that difficult.
The way Pele's acting lately, I just after the World Cup just put Pele in a machine, make him into diamonds.
Yeah,
I'm getting tired of him.
Yeah, in many ways, it's what he would want.
His hair. Yeah. He's selling his hair for £4,000.
That's the sort of thing. Well, it's
a shark has been jumped.
If he did do that, Marizona would spend the whole rest of his life running around going, they're zircons. Proper, they're rubbish. They're not as good as my diamonds.
What do you think the Italian police are going? Take strands of his hair. he's just solid plated box decorated with Pele in his playing days. A profit of the share of this will go to a children's hospital.
Right. Right. It's a very convoluted way of giving money to charity.
How much is that profit then? Yeah. Let's have a look at the money.
It's almost like if he really wanted to give the charity, he should have just given some money.
Yeah. rather than essentially deifying yourself.
having a meeting at a charity. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, take my hair, put it in the diamonds, put it in a gold-plated box, give you a share of it. No, just give us some money. That's going to take ages. That sounds like it will take ages.
Believe it or not, though I am Pele, my hair is not already made of diamonds. So we're going to use an undoubtedly really, really expensive method of making my hair into diamonds, and then you can have some of the money.
So how did the meeting go with Pele? Diamonds. Oh, well.
It was weird. It was very, very weird.
He's losing it.
It took a turn. It took a bit of a turn.
We sort of had to say yes because it was Pele.
Yeah.
He was asked about his thoughts on the recent death of another construction worker on the World Cup stadium, and he said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh because obviously it's a serious thing, but he says, that's normal, the stuff of life. These things happen. What worries me is the airport's not being finished. I've been travelling a lot and it's chaos.
Now buy my diamond hair.
That's a big
priorities,
issue.
Priorities, eh?
That's the big issue here. Yeah.
Thanks.
What the fuck is happening?
The Virgin First Class Lounge is not first class.
Yeah.
For me, Pele. It's a thing of life. It's the exact opposite, yeah. To be honest. Pele?
Yeah. It's almost a final act of life. Isn't it really?
I mean,
it's a testament that man's footballing career.
That's up there with Beckenbauer.
That nobody's set fire at him yet.
It's up there with Beckenbauer, isn't it?
It is. I mean, he's just shitting on his own fucking leg.
I'm not seeing any slavery.
Oh, turn this into diamonds.
Yeah. But these people are held in
diamond.
Such high regard that they can go crazy and there's no one to sort of tell them or question
mental.
Them.
Meanwhile, Ronaldo's running out of his house to set Blatter. I thought better of him. They're all on the absolute piss take, these Brazilians.
Terrible.
Romario called him an imbecile recently.
Yeah, good.
Spot on.
Romario's the only voice of reason here. I never thought of myself saying this.
That's the state of things. So Romario's the one where we're all going, well, go on.
I follow Romario on Twitter. He's a good follow. He's into his politics, stuff like that.
Yeah.
He's the only one really doing anything.
There you go. Right, on to Pete's game.
It is on to Pete's game. Thank
Pete,
you.
Last week, Espen Barzin, want to explain that to the listeners who felt cheated? Who felt cheated?
2 years
ago. It's not
ago.
The first time it's happened, is it?
I don't know what happened last night.
To be fair, like none of us twigged that we'd already...
Yeah, no, I don't think you got it either way.
No, we didn't get it.
No, I got it.
Right, the title comes from Matt Swan. So toss and frink, you can dance.
Stop Clive Mendonca.
No, stop Espen Barzin.
No, fuck off. Right, look. the clues come from Ed Stern, who's a lovely, lovely chap. I was born in Hertfordshire on the 6th of February, 1966.
Stop. Is it Tim Sherwood?
It's Tim Sherwood. Yeah! Well, we were running late. Anyway.
Nice.
Good. My middle name's Alan. I'm 6 foot tall, which is somehow taller than you think. My playing career consists solely of English clubs with at least one letter O in their name. On the 26th of December 2003, I played in a Premier League game against one of my previous clubs. I was tackled by their right back. He broke my leg and I never played in the Premier League again. My first appearance for that previous club was 4 years previously as an 87th minute substitute for the same player who broke my leg in 2003.
Yeah, in many ways, it's irrelevant.
Yeah, Tim Sherwood.
Anyone tweets me saying they got that before me this time, I'm blocking them.
Thanks, Ed.
Ooh. Yeah, cheers, Ed.
You know what to do.
That's the fastest one since Jim's... is it Pierre Leone?
What a punt.
Yeah.
Luke.
The only reason I knew that, by the way, is because my colleague at work is a Spurs fan. And he says they used to sing about Sherwood. He comes from Boreham Wood and he ain't no fucking good, Tim Sherwood.
Right.
And I knew Boreham Wood was in Hertfordshire, so it's just a punt.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Right. Didn't know where the pink
there was no cheating involved. I actually asked Barry Davis on the way here and he told me.
Let's have some correspondence.
Well, so the correspondence this week, the question we put out there was similar to the opening question, a little bit of a different flavour, though. It was, who would you choose from the world of football to be your flatmate and why? And how would you fill your time together? Reuben Evans comes in and says, Jack Warner. And I'd probably spend my time selling any tickets he had lying around to help pay the rent. So you can't argue with that. It's a idea.
Yep.
Conan Rafferty says, I'll go Pep Guardiola because I can raid his wardrobe for when we go out in the night.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not sure. I don't know Conor. I've said his name wrong. Conor Rafferty. But you're going to have to be slim to fit into those clothes.
Well, he might be.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to, but that's for sure. Hutchie on Twitter says, I'll choose Harry Redknapp because we never have to pay council tax.
Hutchie.
Good. I like this one. I didn't catch the guy's name, but he just says Roger Johnson drinking. I'm sorry I didn't catch your name, but if you pipe up on Twitter, I'll give you a shout out next week, I promise. Nick Porter says he'd quite like to live with Owen Hargreaves because there'll always be someone home to sign for parcels. What we got here? I'd have Peter Crouch because he's practical, open bracket changing light bulbs, cold bread removal, close bracket, and hilarious, open bracket twatting head on door frame, eating his nachos, close bracket. Yeah. That's from Beagle2 on Twitter. Dan Smith on Twitter says, the old Arsenal back four, a well-organised, big-drinking version of the young ones. You cannot argue with that. And I think I'll end on this one from Rob, who says, Rory Delap, he could dry me with his towel like my mum used to.
Oh, that's very nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lovely way to end the show.
There you go.
That's it. That's the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to get in touch, the Twitter is @FootballRamble. The website is thefootballramble.com. And the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. Pete?
Yes, it's Aston Villa versus Southampton this weekend on Rock and Roll Football.
Dead
on
rubber.
Absolute Radio. Shut up. FA Cup finalist Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain will be on the show.
That's a good one. Lovely. That's a good guest.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Good guest.
Hmm.
Sit in and be mates with him.
Good guess.
It's not a dead rubber, that, because Villa are still fighting relegation.
Yeah, fair point.
Have a word.
I didn't mean to undermine it.
Does that mean no, Pete, that you ignored that? Can I not sit in and be mates with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain?
You got a security pass and getting son.
I'm not sure you need one of those. Airtight. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Beatles.
Goodbye, Marcus and everyone.
And, I'll say goodbye as well. Goodbye.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter the offer code RAMBLE at the checkout. A better web starts with your website.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.